Chris Coulter.
What inspired you to become a mental health advocate?
I lost my 14-year-old daughter, Maddie, to suicide 9 years ago. But prior to that, I'd experienced mental health challenges myself. I had a successful business for 20 years, and 2008 financial crisis hit, and kind of showed us that we weren't as impervious to financial struggles as we found out. So we ended up shutting it down in 2010. And then I also went through a really bitter and nasty divorce. So, but the thing that probably trumps everything else was the loss of my daughter. And that, I guess you can take one of two approaches in how you deal with your grief. You can point it inward and just be miserable and sad, and the alternative is you can do something to help others. And I started writing when I was in probably a month or so after we lost my daughter, and I had several parents reach out to me explaining that they were going through very similar stuff with their own teens. And then I realized, wow, there's a lot of people out there that are struggling. And the thing about mental health and having a teen that's struggling, it's almost unavoidable that the parent themselves start exhibiting characteristics of depression and anxiety as well. So that was my foray into mental health advocacy.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about Maddie?
Maddie was this larger than life, wicked sense of humor, smart, stunningly beautiful. She wasn't one of those cliquey kids that just conformed to what a group thought. She knew herself what was right and what was wrong, and she wasn't afraid to stand up to bullies. She wasn't afraid to voice her opinion, even though it may have been dissenting from the popular opinion. And I think as a consequence, she obviously had a tragic ending, but she's been so highly revered as someone that was compassionate and kind. And that's how I'll always remember her. I want to remember all the good things, not the tragedy that ended her life and took her away from us. But she's a very special and unique kid. She was my firstborn, and she was a great big sister to her younger brothers.
How is it for you to put all your feelings into the page and help that healing process?
I guess everyone always asks, is it cathartic? And I guess, yeah, it is. It is cathartic in the sense that it helps by getting it out of your head and onto paper. It is a pretty significant, there's a significant healing, but before healing, you got to also open up the wound. And writing as passionately when I wrote the book, it just brought all the pain, some of the stuff that you kind of pushed downward. It brought it close to the surface.
How important is it to have a support system when you are a teen going through, you know, these new feelings.
Yeah, I think, well, I can only relate from what it was like from when I was a teenager. It's hard to appreciate from a teenage girl perspective. I came from a family of all boys. You know what? It is one of those things that I don't think it's unique to teenagers. You can feel alone regardless of what age you are. And I think Maddie had a whole bunch of struggles she was dealing with, even though she was loved incredibly. There's a lot of raw emotion, including the fact that her parents went through a divorce and she was put into the crosshairs of having to make a decision. And that was not fair. It was painful for her. And unfortunately, as a consequence, I think that was the start of her depression. Her world, kind of as she knew it, blew up.
How does it feel for you to be helping others?
I don't necessarily, I don't do it for me. I think for me, it's more about trying to make a difference. It's trying to fix a problem in society. A lot of it has to do with, I think, our educational system and how we don't talk about emotions. We don't know how to understand. We don't know how to process emotions unless we're taught. Growing up myself, I think as a similar contemporaries to me, we were always taught to kind of push it downward, not necessarily deal with it. Kids are much more in tune with their emotions now, except they don't understand the emotions they don't understand. They tend to think about the emotion in the now, and they're unsure as to how to deal with it and how to process it. And that was part of one of the reasons I became an executive director of a program called How Are You Feeling, which taught kids how to understand, identify, and learn how to process their emotions. Because a lot of these kids, it's all raw to them.
Yeah.
And they just don't know how to do it without coaching. And this program, as soon as I saw it, I went, wow, this is so powerful. And we got kids to participate who were looking for mandatory volunteer hours. And we found out that they were greatly affected by the program. They said it literally changed their lives and how they understand their emotions. And they went to their schools and said, listen, we've got to do this on a much larger process. We're not learning any of this stuff. It's so valuable. It's impacted my life so significantly. And yet the schools kind of just said, oh, we have our own program. But they don't, not as it relates to emotions. And I think between schools and policymakers, they're doing our kids a tremendous disservice.
What do you do to help your own mental health?
Well, it depends on the day, but it is exercise. Is certain, and I'm not talking intense exercise. I walk to and from work, listen to podcasts and audiobooks, and it helps depending upon the day. I have a therapist. I have a coach and a therapist. I've also learned to be a better communicator myself. in my relationship with my boys, my relationship with my partner. We talk about not only the good stuff, we talk about the not so good stuff too. And I think being open and honest with yourself and authentic and vulnerable, I think that is that's really important for all of us. There's just in this world of social media and sound bites, it's so easy. Everyone looks at the happy, positive side, but there's a lot of people struggling, and no one really shows that struggling element to people's lives. If social media is not much of a reality show. So those are the primarily. Yeah. Am I on medication? Yeah, I'm on medication too. So but I think it's a combination of a lot of different things, and you have to figure out what works for each individual themselves. And there's not a right or a wrong way to do it, but you've got to do something. Deflecting and pushing downward is not a way of dealing with depression or anxiety or whatever mental health challenges you might be facing at that point in time.
I know for me, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder 2 at 37, and even 5 years ago, it was taboo. Have you seen the stigma of just talking about mental health lessening?
It's a great question. And I think, considering when I started first writing, I think when I started writing about my own mental health in 2013, people were like shocked. They went, oh my God, I'm talking about my own mental health. I think that things have changed from a societal perspective with regards to mental health. And there's more of an acceptance from a workplace, from a friend perspective. I still think where we have a lot of room that we need to improve upon is how we look at individuals. Society aside, we understand how mental health is revered and people are more compassionate, but I think people are still less likely to open up the kimono and share about their own personal experiences to a large extent. Until we get to a point where we can actually say, I'm Chris Coulter and I have depression or I have anxiety and this is the reason why, I still think we have a long way to go on an individual basis. To your point, Michael, I think, yeah, society kind of accepts it, understands it, certainly more compassionately than they did, let's call it 10 years ago. Yeah. But I still think we have a long way to go.
Where do you want to see your mission in the next 3 to 5 years?
My ideal world means another family never goes through a crisis that we experienced as a family. Is that realistic? No. My boys have both said, Dad, the book, I'm going to give the book a little bit of a plug. It's called,
yes, please.
Wake Up, You Could Lose Your Teen to Suicide. Which it is intended to explain the story of what we went through with my daughter, but more importantly, it was intended to let parents know that they're not alone, that it is a very isolating experience when your child is struggling, you struggle. I'd like people to be able to openly and honestly have a conversation about how they're doing. So my boys both have said, Dad, we love the book. We want to help you promote it. And then this is the start. I'm publishing some other books in to a different generation. So my nieces are quite a bit younger than my boys. And I talked about writing a child's book about suicide. In particular, I had in mind, I had my nieces who were very, very young when their cousin passed. And they wanted to illustrate the children's book. But one of them, my eldest, who was 10, she said suicide, almost like under her breath, like it was a bad word. I want people to understand that suicide isn't a bad word. It's similarly, and we've heard this many times, if you had a broken arm, you go to the doctor, get it set. Mentally, I want people to put their hands up and say, I need help. Not until they're in crisis before they actually put their hand up.
What have you learned from your boys?
That as much as we think they are resilient, and as much as everyone says, oh, they'll get over it, they still miss their big sister. They have a very strong sense of advocacy. They also they're also very altruistic. They don't want to see any other kid go through what they've experienced. And they struggle. I know this past few weeks was the anniversary of Maddie's death, and they struggle, and as I do. And that it grieving is a lifelong journey. And we don't know exactly how it's going to manifest, how it affects us on any given point, any given day. Just that, you know what? It's not kind of, grieve, and then you're over it, and then okay, a new life starts. It is a lifelong journey. And they've taught me that it's okay to cry, and that it's okay to miss and express how you're feeling. And I wrote the book, and I wrote a few chapters, but before I pursued it beyond, like, to completion, I wanted them to be okay with it, because it's not just my story, it's not just Maddie's story, but it's their story too. And I wanted them to say, Dad, this is too important a message not to share and not to tell. And they read the first couple of chapters, and they said it was painful to read, but it was so important to be told. And it was based upon them saying, Dad, it's okay, you've got our blessing to write the book, that I proceeded. So it's painful for them, and it will always be painful for them. So I fully acknowledge that.
What would you say to anyone going through a tough time?
Don't make rash decisions. Don't be afraid to ask your closest friend, and that you need help. And that it's not as dire sometimes as the story we tell ourselves. And that with the right amount of support, you can get through anything, regardless of how bleak it may seem in the moment.
How can people reach out and learn more from you?
They can always, I actually, one thing I did do, when I released my book, one of the challenges I faced when we were going through the struggles with Maddie is not knowing where to go. And the American healthcare system is different than the Canadian one, obviously. But I put together a resource guide for people. Initially, it was intended to be within my geographical area. The goal is eventually to push it out as far as I can, because the challenge, people just don't know where to turn. They don't know where to get help. They don't know the resources. They don't know what happens. So, if people want to reach me, they can go through my website, thefinishlinegroup.com, and that probably, and they have access to my phone number and email if they ever want to talk. I also do I do grief counseling. Or I shouldn't say grief counseling. I facilitate groups of men who are experiencing grief of one sort or another. But that's kind of I it is a it's definitely a passion of mine. It will always be a passion of mine, just as it is will always be a passion for my boys. Sometimes it supersedes the attention I give my business, because this isn't a my your passions often don't necessarily make you money. In my
Right.
case, it doesn't. But at the end of the day, I'm the one that wants to make a difference. This is my choice and what I elect to do with my experience and what I elect to share. And I think it's so important that people who are struggling, they know that this is a point in time that will eventually pass. And that's what I can hopefully communicate to parents who are going through struggles with their teens, because it is something that we don't know. It seems like we are going to be stuck in this forever, but it does eventually pass, and hopefully with a positive outcome.